I wonder if we could turn in our Bibles. We do thank Faith for coming and singing tonight. And we trust that God will bless those messages to our hearts. Turn over to the book of Job, please. The book of Job, chapter 23, for our scripture reading tonight. Job chapter 23, and we're going to read from verse 1 of the chapter. Job chapter 23, begin our reading at verse 1. Then Job answered and said, "Even today is my complaint bitter, my stroke is heavier than my groaning. Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to his seat. I would order my cause before him, and fill my mouth with arguments. I would know the words which he would answer me, and understand what he would say unto me. Will he plead against me with his great power? No, but he would put strength in me. There the righteous might dispute with him, so should I be delivered forever from my judge. Behold, I go forward, but he is not there, and backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand, but I cannot see him. But he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. My foot hath held his steps. His way have I kept and not declined. Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. But he is in one mind, and who can turn him? And what his soul desireth, even that he doeth. For he performeth the thing that is appointed for me, and many such things are with him. Therefore am I troubled at his presence, when I consider I am afraid of him. For God maketh my heart soft, and the Almighty troubleth me, because I was not cut off before the darkness, neither hath he covered the darkness from my face." Amen. We know the Lord will add his own divine seal of approval to the reading of his precious word to all of our hearts. And we just unite again in a word of prayer. Our loving God and our gracious Father, we thank thee for the words that we have heard in the messages and song tonight. We thank thee for the one who lives and the one who rescued us. And we bless thee for that cry on the cross, "It is finished." And we bless thee that thou dost know all about us tonight. We thank thee that thou dost know our down sitting and our uprising. And we bless thee that thou art able to break into lines, break into the hearts of people tonight. And we pray that thou wouldst use thy word as that hammer that will break the rock in pieces. Come and minister to our souls. Help us to see the Lord Jesus afresh. For it's in Jesus' precious name that we'd ask these things. Amen. I'm going to take a well-known text tonight again. Verse 10. "But he knoweth the way that I take, and when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold." Job was a man who knew what trials were and what suffering was all about. He had lost his sons and his daughters in various disasters. He lost his wealth and he lost his health. And much of the book is Job's attempt to understand the trials that had happened to him and his various friends who came and tried to explain what had happened as well. And Job couldn't understand the way of God. He couldn't just understand what was happening. He was very much perplexed, and he was asking some of the questions that perplex many people. If God is good, why do I hurt? Or sometimes that question is asked in other ways. Why is there so much suffering in the world? Or why do bad things happen to good people? Or why do the wicked prosper and the righteous take such a beating at times? And we think of these questions. These are some of the questions of life. And the Lord with whom Job had held such close communion in times gone by, seemed to have withdrawn himself. And Job couldn't find him. He says here, "Behold, I go forward, but he is not there, and backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand, where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand, but I cannot see him." And perhaps I'm speaking to someone here tonight, and you're perplexed by this question. You're puzzled at times by the ways of God, and particularly God's way with you. And sometimes you just can't see what God is doing or why he is working the way that he is doing it. And we could say a number of things to that, but one of the things that I want you to see is that while you cannot maybe discern God's way, God certainly discerns yours. He is the one who knows the way that you take. And we remember here that God knows our way. Many of you maybe will recognize the name Andrew Murray. Andrew Murray was a great South African Christian writer. His book, With Christ in the School of Prayer, is still published today. Maybe some of you have read it. But this is what Andrew Murray once said, and I quote, "He brought me here, he will keep me here. He will make this trial a blessing. He will bring me out again. Therefore, I am here by God's appointment, in his keeping, under his training, for his time." We've often heard the saying, disappointment is his appointment. But that can only be true if God is in charge of the details of your life. And I want you to see here, Job is a very wise man, and he recognizes the fact that God has him there for a reason. And instead of turning away from God, which is the reaction of many, and the reaction maybe of his wife that was going to advise him, instead of turning away from the Lord, he turns to the Lord. And you notice his cry, he says, "Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to his seat." And that's the very best thing to do in days of adversity, to seek the Lord. And sinner tonight, that's the very best thing for you to do. It's the very best thing, the very best place to come to his seat, to come into his presence, to come to seek his mercy. And this wise realization of Job is one that I advocate for you tonight. Maybe you're in trouble in some way, and which of our lives is not touched by trouble at some time or other. But I advocate and tell you tonight to come to the feet of the Saviour. And Job is able to say about this God that he's seeking, "But he knoweth the way that I take, and when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold." Now, there are many ways that we could take that text of Scripture, and I think probably in the past I have taken it as a comfort to God's people. But what I want to do tonight is just to take these words and apply them to the unsaved. The words of Job here can be taken as a comfort to the saint, but they're also a challenge to the sinner. The words of Job here are a challenge to you if you're outside of Christ. There are issues that this text brings to your mind that I want you to see for a few minutes tonight. And the first thing I want you to see is the direction I go. God knows the direction I go. It says he knoweth the way that I take. Now, you see from that there is a way. There's a way that you take. There's a way that you follow. There's a course. There's a journey in life. There's a way that you have chosen. There is a course in life that you have selected for yourself. There's a direction that you want to go in. And it says here that God knows the way that you're going. And God knows what you're doing. And God, more than that, knows where you're going to end up. Now, there are many people who have some idea of where they want to go. And maybe you have it all set out about what you want to do with your life. But I wonder if you know really where you're going to end up. You see, life is like a sea, and you're going out on the journey of life, and you know where you're going, you know where you're heading, but it's like the waves that toss you, and the frail vessel of your life is thrown about, and there are currents that sweep across the bark of your life and are liable to carry you away. And you know, in many ways, we can drift in our lives. You know, there are many people and they're just drifting through life. And maybe they have some idea about where they want to go and what they want to do. But really, all they're doing is just drifting. Many years ago, there was an American vessel that was sailing from America. And just off the Isles of Scilly there, it got caught in a current. And this current brought the vessel along. And understand that drifting actually here is a kind of a nautical term. That's what it's referring to. Being carried along by the currents. And you know, the sailing vessel just got carried along until it perished on the rocks. And you know, it's easy to drift. You know, it's hard to swim against the current. It's hard to go against. And this world in which we live has a current. And there's a fashion. And there's a way that people are going. And it's very easy just to be carried along by the drift and by the current and just go along with everybody else without really knowing where you're going. And you have an idea about where you want to go and what you want to do, but you're just drifting along and really at the end of the day you don't know where you're going. Well, I want you to see that God knows. God knows where you are going. If you're seeing tonight, you'll want to end up with a blessing of God on your life. You don't want to end up inside the blessing of God. And you don't want to end up outside God's blessing and in banishment and the wrath of God. And surely the question that you need to answer is, do you know where you're going? Do you know where your life is going to end up? Now, you have some idea. You have some kind of plan. Maybe for the next few years even, you have a kind of a thought about what you want to do, but where ultimately are you going? And if you do know where you're going, how are you going to end up there? How are you going to get there? If you want to go to heaven, which does not want to go to heaven, how are you going to get to that place? Maybe tonight you're depending on your own strength. Maybe you're depending on your religion, depending on your respectability. Depending on this and that, those things will never get you to glory. You know, the Bible says of salvation, it's not of works, lest any man should boast. And yet there are those people who have got the impression, either from the pulpit or from lack of teaching, that that is the way that you go. But the Bible says, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. You can't get there by yourself. You've got to have a vessel to take you to the end of the journey. And the only vessel that will carry you through the billows and the floods and the currents of life is the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you want a pilot? Signal in to Jesus. Do you want a pilot? Bid him come on board. For he will safely guide across the ocean wide, until at last you reach the heavenly harbour. Have you got a pilot tonight? Have you one to guide you to the light of the harbour of God? Perhaps there are those tonight and you have chosen the way of evil. And your path is one and you know it is against God and against the things of God. And you're going down the road to destruction. You know the Bible says how we read about Elijah, how one day the people were halting between two opinions. And the Lord said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, follow him. Dear friend, if you want to follow the Baal of this life, if you want to follow the false gods, then follow them. Dear friend, tonight if I was to bring here a sheaf of paper, and it was to sign your soul away, I wonder would you sign it? You see, you want to go on an evil path. You want nothing to do with religion or the things of God. But would you sign your soul away? See, that's the logic of what you do. Maybe there are those of you that want to ignore the question about where you're going. Perhaps that's how you treat things. You just want to drift along and never think about where you will spend eternity. And you're drifting like that vessel. And you know that life is passing away. The old hymn says, passing onward, quickly passing. Yes, but whither bound? Is it for the merry mansions where eternal life is found? Passing onward, passing onward. But I ask you, whither bound? Where are you going? Do you know you're on the way to heaven? Have you the Lord Jesus Christ as the captain of your vessel bringing you along? Or are you just drifting tonight, not knowing where you're going to end up? I'm glad that the Lord knows the way that I take. I might know myself, or you might know yourself. I know tonight, because I'm saved, that I'm heading to heaven. But where are you going? We notice here in this passage of Scripture the direction that I go. But then I want you to see something else. Notice not only the direction that I go, but look at the discernment he shows. Job says, but he knoweth the way that I take, and when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. God sees you. Spurgeon once said that the recognition of the fact that God knows the way that we take is one of the best tests of human character. And if that startles you tonight, maybe you need to be startled. If it is something that causes unease, maybe there's a reason for your unease. Maybe tonight is something that delights you. For he knoweth the way that I take. I want you to see that it is a comprehensive knowledge. It says he knoweth. And the word there that is speaks of inward feelings. He knows our likes and our dislikes. The Hebrew actually means here, he knoweth the way that is in me. He knows not only what I do outwardly, but he knows what's in me. He knows my dislikes. He knows my likes. He knows my imaginations. He knows my opinions. He knows not only what you do, but he knows why you do it. Isn't it a wonder to know that God knows? That's a comfort to the child of God, but maybe it's something fearful to you. Many people in Ghana and Africa are very devout, and they have the joy of naming things, giving their business enterprises names that recognize their part of religion in their lives. For example, you could go down the street and you might see Hail Mary Plumbing Shop. Or you might see I Love Jesus Dry Cleaner. Or you might have God Is Great Gas Station. Or whatever it is. And one American visitor was visiting in Ghana, and he was introduced to this guide who was to guide him along, and the name was God Knows Sirodse. And God Knows was his first name. And what a reminder that was to the fact that whenever he was tempted to evil, God knew. Whenever he was in difficulty, God knew. Whenever he was in trials, God knew. And that's something that we need to realize, that God knows all about us. It's a comprehensive knowledge. But also it is a clear knowledge. It's an unclouded knowledge. The Lord knows you absolutely clearly. You know, there are things that we know about ourselves, but we have a very unclear knowledge. Now, you may think that you know yourself, but other people can spot our faults better than we can spot them ourselves. You know, you can look across at somebody else and you can see the way that they do things or the way that they don't do things. And we're able to see the faults and failures of other people. We tend to make excuses for ourselves. But the Lord sees with absolute clarity. And he sees what we are. You know, the Bible says about us, those who are outside of Christ. He says the whole head is sick. The whole heart is stained. From the sole of the foot even unto the head. There is no soundness in it but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores that cannot be bound up, neither mollified with ointment. It's a clear knowledge. He sees every bit with unclouded perception. He sees all that we do and all that we think. And it's a complete knowledge. He sees you at the present moment, but he also sees the past. You know this, he also sees the future. He sees the things that we cannot see. He sees how you're reacting to the sermon. He knows what you're thinking or what you're not thinking. He knows whether you're interested in the things of salvation or whether you're not interested. It's a complete knowledge. He knows whether you're hardening your heart. He knows whether already you've stepped across the line of grace. The Lord knows. He knows the way that I take. So he knows the direction I go. And we see the discernment that God shows. But then I want you to see the difficulties that I undergo. The text speaks of trials. It says, when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as pure gold. And if I was to ask you tonight in this meeting whether you have had trials and difficulties in your life, I don't expect that there would be one in this meeting who would not be able to say that they've never had any trials in their lives. Some have had more better trials and deeper trials than others. But we think of Job here, and here's a man who certainly had many trials. We read about him at the start of the book. And he was a righteous man, a man that feared God. The Bible says there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil. And the Lord allowed him to go through great trials. As we've said, he lost his family, lost his health, and went through all sorts of trials in his life. And the Apostle Paul was a great apostle. And he also was able to say about the many trials that he went through in the course of serving the Lord. And we read also in the book of Hebrews about what it has to say about the saints of God. And it describes them that they quench the violence of fire, escape the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, wax valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with a sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. So don't let anybody tell you that when you come to Christ that you'll not have problems. There will be many problems. Many have to endure trials precisely because they are Christians. But I want you to see what Job has to say here in the midst of his very deep difficulties. And you can imagine what it must have been as he and his wife stood and saw his 10 children carried out with their 10 bodies brought out at a funeral. As he saw his wealth taken away and the fires consuming all that he had. And he says, when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. And isn't that a marvellous thing? Here's a man of faith, and he's able to stand in the midst of the deepest of difficulties. And he knows that God has a purpose. But what about you, unsaved person? You know, you go through the difficulties, and at least the child of God has a God to turn to, a God who cares, a God who understands, who knows all about her struggles and her trials and her difficulties. But you've nobody to turn to. Nobody to help you. And you know, sometimes our trials are designed by God to get us to face the issues of eternity. And think of the Philippian jailer and how God sent that earthquake, and it seemed as if all the prisoners had gone and he was going to face an awful trial because he had been derelict in his duty. And he was going to kill himself. When Paul cried out, "Do thyself no harm, we're all here." And you remember what the jailer said before he had put these men, Paul and Silas, into prison. But now he cries out, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And of course the answer is, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved." Sometimes people have been saved on the bed of sickness. Sometimes people have been saved on their deathbed. Sometimes people have been saved at the graveside of a loved one. And God has to speak very loudly before they've listened. Oh, dear friend, has God got to speak loudly to you? Has God got to send a disaster into your life in order to bring you to himself? He says, "When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold." We see something here of the difficulties I undergo. But one more thing I want you to see, and that's the destiny I can know. He says, "When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold." As gold. The Lord wants to bring us forth as gold. The Lord has a golden prospect for every child of God. And I want you to see it's an impressive prospect. The destiny of every child of God is a destiny of gold. And the reference there is to the refining of gold. And it speaks of getting rid of the impurities. And getting the impurities out of your life and mine. The impurities of sin. And when the Lord has dealt with me, thank God, he will bring me into glory itself. And you know, the only way that the impurities of our lives can be dealt with is in Christ. And when it refers to the gold here, it speaks of how the Lord can forgive. And I'm glad tonight that he brings us to himself. He brings us forth as gold. He takes out all the impurities, all the sin that defiles, and makes us right for heaven. And if I confess my sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 2 Corinthians 5:1 tells us, "For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." And he brings me forth as gold and brings me to the golden streets of heaven itself. It's an impressive prospect. But also it's an indestructible prospect. You know, one of the things about gold is that it cannot perish in fire. Gold, pure gold cannot be burned. And that's the same with the child of God. We cannot perish in the flames of hell. He brings me forth as gold. I'm given that eternity. Gold is something that is imperishable. And thank God he's taken me out of danger. The fires of hell cannot kindle upon me. This is an indestructible prospect. And thank God he brings us to that place of many mansions. You know, Richard Baxter, the old Puritan, said, "My knowledge of this life is small. The eye of faith is dim. But it's enough that Christ knows all, and I shall be with him." Is that something that you can say tonight? That you have an indestructible prospect? You know, Christopher Hitchens died there just December 2011. He was a celebrated atheistic essayist. In fact, he wasn't just an atheist, he was an anti-theist. He was anti-religion and militantly atheist. He believed that God and belief in God spoils everything. And he said so in his book, God is not great. And in his suffering and in his death, he didn't change his mind about God and about the possibility of life to come. Although he appreciated the good wishes of everybody and even the prayers of Christians who were praying for him. But not long before he died, Hitchens spoke of death in a debate. And he said this, and I quote, "It will happen to all of us that at some point, and you get tapped on the shoulder and told not just that the party's over, but slightly worse, the party's going on, but you have to leave." Now, Hitchens died on the 15th of December 2011 of cancer that he acknowledged himself probably was brought on by his heavy smoking and by his heavy drinking. But he said he was leaving the party. But you know, he was going to a place where there are no parties. But you know, the Bible says something different for the child of God. The Word of God tells us that those that are saved are not leaving the party. We're going to a party that'll never end. We're going to the place of glory, the place of satisfaction. He brings us forth as gold. Dear friend, that's the blessing of God's salvation. It's a blessing that you can have through the Lord Jesus Christ. The blessed Redeemer died on the cross and shed his blood that those that trust in him can have eternal life, can have their sins forgiven, can be washed in the precious blood of the Lamb. Will you come to him tonight? He knows the way that you're taking. He knows where you're going to end up, even if you don't know it yourself. But thank God he has a prospect of gold for those that know and love him. Are you going to the party that God is preparing for those that love and know him? Are you on your way? Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ? Is he the captain of your vessel through the storms of life? Is the Lord bringing you through to the farther side where it is far better? You come, find the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and your Lord tonight. May God write his word upon our hearts. Let's